Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and what's going on? And it's March Madness, and I'm pretty mad too. But it is March Madness, and some great basketball games. What a great time of the year to sit back and trade and watch game after game and look at all the channels and see all the crazy games. I mean, just an amazing world of things for a guy who likes to see the action. And of course, the markets are having a little bit of action, and they're falling into the pattern that we would have expected, which is rallies are failing. And I think when you look at the bigger picture, as we've said many, many times, we felt that the top is in. And if you take a look, you saw the peak of the market on January 29th. You then had the big sell-off down to the lows that were made on February 6th. And then you had the next peak or top of the market in on February 27th. And then you had another sell-off on, you know, down with making the low on March 2nd. And then you had the next peak on March the 12th. And of course, here we are now. So I think that, you know, this is exactly what you'd expect. Now we're actually, from a technical standpoint, we're building in a very tight window, which indicates that another big move is coming. Now, of course, the bulls will tell you that the next move is going to be up, and this has been a rest. And it certainly, I can't tell you that will not be the case. But certainly, if I were going to play it, well, I am playing it. I would be playing it to the short side. And again, I want to warn everybody. Okay, we never want to sell it near the lows. We want to sell into some strength. So right now, I'd be looking for a little bit of a rally, you know, let's say 25.2 or so in the Dow, if you want to use that as your benchmark, or if you want to use the S&P as your benchmark, I would say that you'd want to be looking at somewhere around, 27.7 or so, 27.70 or, somewhere between that and 2,800. That would be where I'd be looking at the opportunity to sell it. Again, you want and you need to be patient enough to wait. Okay. Remember, the markets are going to give you an opportunity. What happens to most of us is we don't have the patience to sit back and wait for the opportunity. So we jump in. And that's where, many of us make a mistake, because if you jump in too quickly, okay, and it goes immediately against you, then you're forced to make that decision on what you do next. And that's one of the big keys of the trading world, is the decision making that we have to make. So if I'm in a trade too early, even if I'm right, but it starts to go against me, then I'm at that crossroad where I got to say, I don't know, do I want to get hurt here, or do I want to just, take it off and wait? And again, it happens all the time. This is not new. This is part of the emotional part of the trading world. And that's why I always warn, okay, that you have to be prepared. And that's why you try to want to wait for the most opportune time. Now, again, just because you wait, it doesn't mean you're going to be right. It doesn't mean you're not going to be put to that same decision. But at least you're putting the odds and the probabilities more in your favor by waiting. It's for example, We look at gold here. You know, gold has been under a lot of pressure. It's at the lower end. So here, I wouldn't be a seller of gold. If I'm going to trade gold, I would only be a buyer. Okay. Now, personally, I would wait. I'd like to sell gold until it breaks to the upside. I think that gold has some issues that need to be, you know, rectified. And I think when you look at it from, you know, just a long-term standpoint, we've been in ugly consolidation. We have held basically from a closing standpoint, we've held about the 1315 area on a regular basis, you know, since the beginning of the year. But we are making somewhat of a descending pattern right now. And, you know, I wouldn't sell it here again because, you know, it's right on the bottom. I mean, if you said to me, hey, you got to make a trade right now, well, I'd be a buyer first. But I do believe that you're probably going to see at least a test of 1300, if not below. And I think that's one of the keys here that we have to focus on and look at is, you know, where do we go? And so when I look at that chart, and you should do yourself a favor and look at that chart and see what I'm talking about. But, you know, at this level, I'm not looking to sell it. I don't want to sell it down here. I mean, it may go down. It could collapse, but it'll collapse without me because what I do know is that there will be another opportunity. What I do know is that there will be some rally at some point, whether it be of the dead cat bounce variety, whether it be a breakout. So why should I jump in? You know, and again, I can look at that in many different products. You know, one of the ones we've been obviously talking about quite a bit is the crude oil world. Okay. And you know, crude is right now is very similar to gold with 60 seems to be that bottom end. Now, you know, up near 62, I'd be a seller of oil. I think that again, that justifies, I mean, we are certainly after peaking at 66666, we have been working our way lower. And I think that's something that you want to understand. So now when you start to see that, all you're looking for is a rally to sell. Now, I know many of you have said to me, you believe it's going a lot higher and you're looking for 70. And, you know, I mean, certainly I cannot say it's impossible, but also certainly I don't think it's very likely. I think that more likely is you're going to see 58, which would be our next stop on the downward train. I mean, we don't see oil at all. I can't make a case for anything that I would like about oil from any standpoint, whether it be fundamental or technical. So I think that that's something that, you know, we just have to, you know, focus on. And again, listen, that's what makes a market. You've got two sides to a market, and you know, I can't say that you're wrong, but I think that I'm right. And I think the market will eventually bear me out here as we continue to look for oil to fall apart. And I think that, you know, it could be, you know, sooner than we think. You know, when you start to see consistently working its way lower, and then you have an occasional pop. And if you go back to this goes to go to the peak of, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we traded like 64. Well, you know, we've got as low as 60, and each time we rally back up, it makes a lower high, which it would just indicate that most likely it's headed south. But again, this is the same as what we talked about in gold and everything else. You got to sit back, relax, and wait for your opportunity. The idea is not to be first. The idea is to be right. And that's why, no matter which side, because there's money to be made on both sides of any market if you wait for your opportunity. And I think that's one of the things we work on all the time is to wait for that opportunity. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you can download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And of course, help us out. Help us reach our goal of 1 million downloads a month. And also, don't forget to get the Sporting Edge over the weekend. And of course, if you're not getting Bubba's Daily Update, you're missing a lot because, you know, every day after the market closes, I do a quick 3 to 5 minute video of exactly what happened, what I expect to happen. And you should be getting your copy. It's free. Go to BubbaTrading.com and just fill out the little form. And we will see you back here after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. It's the time. welcome back to the Bubba Show. It is Bubba, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we were doing a little bit of market analysis, which we will continue right now. And, you know, when I look at, you know, go around the products that we like to watch. And, you know, we've been, you know, sucking gas on the meats a little bit here recently. Now, we have had a couple of pops. And, of course, cattle's been, you know, not horrible. Feeders have been a little rough. But they're right at our level that, you know, again, if they violate here, we would just have to say, okay, we're wrong. We'll take our losses. Fats have been a little bit better than that, but of course they had a rough day on Thursday. But I think that, you know, at the end, the hogs have been really weak as well. And there's, you know, obviously some decision points. And this is just another thing that you have to remember as an investor or a trader, because there is a difference. And where do you exit? Okay, so you need to have an exit plan in place in case you are wrong. And you will be wrong occasionally. But you have to have a decision of where you're going to get out and how you're going to handle the trade. But I think that I still think that market's pretty solid, and I'd like to be a buyer. I think we're going to have a much bigger market. But I'm not going to go broke trying to fight that market. Okay. The grain markets have exacted almost exactly as we suspected, and we are expecting some more selling pressure there. But longer term, we're very bullish. Okay, longer term, we expect to see the markets move their way higher. You know, I think there's even a potential. You know, we need the perfect storm, but I think there is even a potential of what we would call a big market this year. There's a lot of things that are weighing on it, and so we'll see. But certainly, if I were to say, you know, wheat at 480, I'd be a buyer, which actually traded there on Thursday as well. And I think that soybeans at about 1020 and corn at about 380 as well. So those are things that I'd be watching. And I think you also want to start to watch if you are a cryptocurrency follower. They're getting to that point now where you may want to go ahead and step in. You know, you're getting to that spot in the world that it may be time to go ahead and take a gander, you know, of getting in, because, you know, we've seen this market. Now you know that this market is for real, okay? Because they have been now classified as a commodity. So we know that it's a real market, okay? So now that we know that it's a real market, okay, so now we want to look for, and of course trying to identify, you know, which is the best is always a hard thing to say. Now we know from our buddy Matt Demeter that he's not a big fan of Bitcoin, and but he is a fan of the space. So I think that, you know, you want to look for what you may find to be your best chance or best asset of these you'd want to buy. I mean, I personally, I bought some BitShares, and I own some IOTA, and I own some Bitcoin, and I own some Ethereum. Okay. But again, you know, pick one or two, or, you know, take a small position on a bunch of them. I mean, that's all good. You know, just, you know, again, you do not want to overinvest here. This is not, you know, the get rich quick scheme. This is just, hey, the markets look like they could do X, and so we want to be prepared for X. And I think that's always something that if you do it right and you do it properly, you put yourself in a better position for success. So I would be looking for you know, one of those to, you know, possibly step up and become a buyer. Again, it's just another, it's just a little bit more diversification within several different asset classes that, again, I believe are, you know, exactly what the well-diversified portfolio is. I think also now you've seen, as we've been, you know, talking down the bond market and the euro currency, you know, I think the euro currency, you know, on Thursday took a little bit of a beat down. Bonds rallied to where we want to sell them. And I think that, you know, again, so now you'd want to look for a rally in the euro currency to sell it and look for a spot. Now, I think that the bond market, is a sale now as well. I'm talking about 30-year U.S. Treasuries, you know, somewhere around the, you know, 145 and a half or something level would be a place to look at it as where you'd want to sell it. I think another interesting market is the U.S. dollar. You know that that's where our opinion is, where the black swan event is going to come out of is the dollar. And with the dollar, you know, trying to rally up, you know, right now it's at 90. You know, the key is going to be it getting through 91. The key is going to be then the breakout, and the key is going to be then the pukage and carnage from the geniuses at the Federal Reserve and the other central banks around the globe. This is the, now again, just in case you haven't got my explanation before, the markets, when you're in America, when you're in the United States, you know, the dollar's a dollar. We're not affected by the purchasing power of the dollar. It is what it is, right? You go to the store, whatever you buy, beer, scotch, a Coke, whatever. It is what it is. Okay. However, when you go abroad, all right, then your dollar becomes something of value or less of value. And, with the dollar at weak levels here. So if I own the euro currency and I'm trying to buy something in the United States of America, then my euro currency goes about 25% farther. All right. That's one of the reasons you see so much, foreign buying in the United States, because of the currency. So now with all the global lending, all right, with all the global borrowing, if I'm borrowing in euro currency, then I'm actually, even though let's say the rate's 3%, I'm getting a 25% discount of that 3% based on dollars. And that's what's really controlling the market right now, keeping interest rates lower artificially. So I think if you see that change, which I think you will, then all of a sudden that cheap borrowing is no longer cheap borrowing. That cheap borrowing now all of a sudden becomes more expensive. And I think that's something that, again, nobody's accounting for. Nobody's accounting for the debt. There's just too many things to think about here that don't make sense from, the logic standpoint. And this is where I think, again, as you know, I believe the Fed's going to lose control. And I think this is how they're going to lose the control, because I think that the dollar is going to start to take off, and that will create, I think, I do believe in my eyes, the overall black swan event that we've been talking about. That, again, remember, a black swan is just an event. We're not calling for the end of the world. We are not saying that the markets are no longer going to go higher. What we are saying is that the markets need a breather. The markets are going to go lower. And that eventually the sell-off will be a buying opportunity. But there has to be a lot of work here to resolve a lot of the crap that's been put through in these markets because of that reason. So now, you look for a sell-off, and successful investing and trading is when you can figure out how to take advantage of this market, okay, and the different gyrations that happen in the market. And that's something that I think is we often forget how beneficial it can be to actually use both sides of the market. Now, of course, we use a hedging method, okay, because that just takes the decision making out of a lot of things, and we can go ahead and hedge our overall portfolio, and then we don't have to worry about the markets going up and down, and we can actually, within that hedge model, we can actually, trade and have a little bit of opinion where we can make good money, but we don't have to expose ourselves in case. And that's always something that I look at from my standpoint and say, hey, it's nice to be able to, if I want to be a little bit more bullish, well, I can get a little bit longer here, but I know that I've got protection underneath me. So if I'm wrong and the market just falls apart, well, okay, so be it. I can still grab on and still grab some great benefit from that. And I think that's something that, that's one of the things, that's one of the beauties of the hedging model, is it allows me to participate in things like that. So again, just FYI, be careful and, you know, look for the right opportunities. In the meantime, as you know, you've heard me talk about this often. We have high school investing program where, you know, I actually support it. But now I am looking for some help. If anybody wants to help, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you do make a small donation, I will give you one free week of my advisory service. And hopefully you'll want to help out. In the meantime, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And that includes the Sporting Edge in this week of March Madness. So we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, we've been looking at some of the equities and some of the markets and what's going on. And, of course, obviously a lot of the big news this week was the appointing of or the hiring of whatever of Larry Kudlow. Everybody's talking about the tariffs and this and that and so what and what have you. And I say, look, you may not like President Trump, but you cannot take away the fact that he is doing the best job that I've ever seen from a president at actually taking care of the American people. And if you look at, you know, the terror structure, I mean, don't we realize that all this is the art of the deal? Did you not know that he wrote a book about the art of the deal? He's bargaining. And do you think that he would have hired or appointed Larry Kudlow? Larry Kudlow's on the exact opposite page of what's going on right now. Okay. He is on the exact opposite page of this thing. Do you think that President Trump would have appointed Larry Kudlow, and do you think Larry Kudlow would have accepted if they didn't talk about what they wanted to do and how they were going to handle this? To me, this is nothing more than a power play, which I believe deserves to be in there and should be done. And I'm very happy at the way that it is being done, because again, personally, I wouldn't mind if we had tariffs. I think this is way overblown, but you go into the economist, the theory of these things, and of course, what do you see? Well, you have everybody whining. Now, I look at it from this point of view. I look at it from a real business standpoint. If there are tariffs, if things happen, then doesn't that change the supply-demand model? Does that not make for less demand? Do you think that, you know, any of these imports that we bring in, do you think any of them cannot be recreated for similar money? You know, we farmed out all that stuff. And trust me that the dollars are not all that great on a lot of these products. For example, just the iPhone, if it was assembled in the United States of America, would be about $50 more, $40 more for that phone. Is there anybody here that would worry about the $40 on the phone, besides the fact that most of the companies give them away anyways? So, you know, I think that, you know, we get far too bent out of shape based on theory. And I don't know why we're so worried about the economic theory, which has never been right. Okay. I mean, again, I would love anybody to write to me and tell me if the Federal Reserve has ever been right. Okay. And I'm not talking about one event. I mean, I don't think they were right in 2008. So there's my opinion. But I'd like you to tell me if they've ever made the right decision at the right time that has actually worked for the longer period of time. And I don't think you can do that. Okay. Now, maybe you can. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I one thing I'll tell you about me, I didn't say that I'm 100% right. I just look at what I've seen and witnessed what I've seen them do over the years, and I've never seen them be right. I mean, I think they're unbelievably wrong right now, trying to manipulate the dollar. I think this is the problem when you work on theory and get away from the true free market system. Okay? Because we are not in, as I've said many times before, and I will continue to beat the drum, we are not in a true free market right now. Because everything is manipulated by what the Federal Reserve does. Now, where is it written anywhere that it's supposed to be the Federal Reserve? And again, we have there a bunch of, you know, they're not criminals. They're just a bunch of people that have no clue. Now, if you throw the politicians into that mix, why are they so worried about the potential tariffs and things? Because they get it's their own deals that they're worried about. I guess I'll ask this question, okay? And I can't speak for every single politician, but for the most part, does anybody out there believe these politicians actually have our best interests, or do they have their own? Again, I'm not saying that I'm right or wrong, but certainly from what I witness over the years, what I know from some of the in things inside things I know, there are not many out there that are looking out for you and me. However, I do believe, is that from Wizard of Oz? I do believe that President Trump does have the best interests of the American people in everything that he does, which is why he does a lot of the things that he does. I do believe that he is trying to become, you know, the best president of all time, because, again, otherwise he has no, what reason does he have to be in office for? What reason does he have to be, you know, taking all this guff and crap other than the fact that he wants to make things better? But forget about that. This is not a political message. But I do believe that most politicians out there, the reason that there's so many struggles is because they don't want to things to get different or better, because the way that things are the way that they receive the biggest benefit, not you, they. And I think this has been the story. I mean, how else can we get $20 trillion in debt, right? How else can we have a Social Security system that is failing? How else can we have everything else that's failing? Well, that should be enough information and enough to say to you that the people that are in charge do not care about you and me, okay? That should be enough to say that the people in charge do have their own interests at heart, not our interests. Again, this is not a complicated problem. This is a simple question. If they're truly public servants, then we wouldn't have a lot of the issues that we have today. I don't think there's any clearer way to put it. But if any of the politicians, and you can pick either side of the aisle, this is not a debate on left or right. No matter which side you pick, you can see that somebody somewhere would have said, hey, we're going out of business. We need to adjust our theory. We need to make changes because we cannot afford to go this far in debt. Okay. And of course, that's not the story that they tell. The story they tell is, well, let's kick the can down the road and leave it for the next generation. Well, since we've been kicking the can down the road for the last, you know, I don't know how many years, you know, it seems to me it doesn't get any better. It seems to me that because of everything that, that they have done, it has created this wage stagflation. Okay. It's created the need for the drug of the Fed, all right, which is, again, you know my opinion there. I don't have to rehash it. But you know, I don't understand that if the politicians have the best interests of the American people at heart, there is no way we would be $21 trillion or $20 trillion in deficit. There would be no way that we were such an overregulated society. There would be no way that we would be anywhere near the mess we are today. But we are. So how did we get to this spot? And I think that is, I think each one of you should take a look at how we got to this spot. And again, I don't care whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat or whether you're Libertarian or whether you're, you know, whatever. Okay. How did we get here? And why did we get here? I mean, again, this is going to be a major problem for many of you because the way the system's melting down, the way Social Security is melting down. And so I ask you and I say to you, how did we get here? Okay. And you know, you didn't get here. It was not accidental that you got here. It was the pure, I don't know what the right word is, but let's say the irresponsibility of the people that are in charge. It's irresponsible to let the debt get to this level. It's irresponsible not to have acted on it in the meantime. But because of the way they allowed the Fed to be created and they allowed the opportunity to create or print more money out of thin air, okay, you ended up with we can create more debt because we can create more money. Well, that has created a lot more problems than we've ever even thought would happen. And I believe that also creates a much bigger issue, which we will talk about when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. And I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you know, make sure you check out libertytalk.fm. You know, we've got a lot of shows on our network and, you know, we've got 24-hour a day programming 7 days a week. And of course, obviously I always ask you to download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge. And of course, we have a new show now on the weekends, Crypto Investor X, which talks about the cryptocurrencies with our guy, Matt Demeter. But make sure you go ahead and download the show and make sure you get a hold of, you know, my daily update. You know, again, it's free and it's just something I do every day. Just, I shoot a quick video, kind of give you what happened that day and what I expect to happen and why, and kind of help set you up for the next trading day. And so certainly check it out. It's, again, it's a free, it's on YouTube. And, you know, again, I send it to you every day. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to stop out for a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, it is Friday. It is March Madness. It is maddening to watch what goes on in Washington, D.C. And, you know, we talked earlier about the debt. And you know, we've talked about this before, but I have to ask the question, why does the government not have to live on a normal budget like everybody else? Why do they have the ability to, you know, again, the Federal Reserve is a private corporation, but you know, we've all seen these deals before, right? I mean, you know, so it's a private corporation, but they have the ability to run and create more money. You know, when do you and me get the ability to go down in our basement and print more money, or out in the backyard and pull it off the money tree, and just spend? Why is it that the federal government does not have to have the same type of spending habits that everyday Americans have to have? You know, I wonder, you know, if, you know, these people actually had to pay back this debt that they create themselves, if they would actually be creating, the amount of debt that they create. What do you think? You know, I think it's rather sad that we can live in a society that, you know, A, is not equal. And I do believe that we should all have the same equal opportunity. You know, and I do also believe that, you know, if you're better at something, then it should be yours. But when do we get to the point where it's just okay to be mediocre and spend and create debt that eventually is going to have to be paid back by somebody? Okay. Now, of course, you know, we see this on a regular basis. And, you know, it goes down to the debt ceiling. It goes down to the fiscal cliffs, and it goes down to, you know, all the ridiculous things that go on. And so why isn't the federal government subject to an audit? Why isn't the Federal Reserve subject to an audit? You know, wouldn't you like to know where your money was going? Wouldn't you like to know what they're doing with all those hard-earned tax dollars that we pay? You know, I mean, we all pay taxes. Well, I guess we don't all pay, but we pay taxes. And I mean, wouldn't you like to know where your money is going, what they're using it for? I mean, I'd like to know. I'd like to know, you know, again, that's one of my big things. I don't mind helping people, but I certainly don't want to give it away for nonsense. And I would say that a big portion and a big percentage of the money that they're spending of my money and your money is for nonsense. And I think that's a sad state just to begin with. I think that becomes a much sadder outcome because it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I'm not, you know, a big fan of, you know, the way things are run today. Again, I'm a big fan of where we are. I'm a big fan of the United States of America, but I'm not a big fan of a lot of things that get done through us. And to me, that becomes, again, it creates more problems than it's worth. And again, you know, I would just like to know, you know, what you're doing with my dough. I mean, that's all. I don't think I'm asking a lot. I don't think I'm, overly being demanding. I just believe that we should be able to have an understanding of how they're spending my money. I mean, you know, if you have a family, and you know, somebody in your family is spending irresponsibly, you probably step up and say, hey, I'm not going to fund that. And I just think that becomes a story that will, again, eventually create just another problem. And I don't want to be, you know, unfortunately I have to be part of it, but I'd like to not be part of it, you know, and I'm not a big fan of the freedom that they have in creating budgets. You know, I don't like the fact that they most likely overpay for everything. I think that is one of the things that we can say from, you know, having President Trump, that he is not necessarily sitting there overpaying for everything. And I think that, you know, you saw his meeting the other day at Boeing, and, you know, he gave him a little shot about, you know, about price and about negotiating price. And I think that is something that, you know, again, needs to be more rectified. Because, you know, there's many of the government suppliers become, you know, unbelievably wealthy because these contracts they get are not done correctly. They're done, you know, because somebody's, I don't want to say paying off somebody, but probably somebody's probably paying off somebody. And that's where I'd like to see the paper trail. That was what I would like to see. You know, I mean, if I blow all my money and I go broke, at least somebody can look at the paper trail. And, you know, I would like to see a paper trail of government spending. I'd like to see a paper trail of the Federal Reserve spending and what they do, because I think that I could find an enormous amount of waste there, and probably enough to, you know, obviously we're $20 trillion, we're not wiping out and just by an audit, but I think certainly we could certainly be on the mend if we could have some true fiscal responsibility, because I certainly don't see it. All right. Now, again, I could be wrong. I don't, you know, look, but from what I see, they have no responsibility. From what I see, they do basically what they want. And, you know, and it's always with the same, with the, we're doing it for the American people. Yeah, right. You're doing it for yourself. And if I can happen to benefit, or at least think that I'm benefiting, then you're doing it for me as well. But I don't see that. I think that's a crock. I think that's a false statement. I don't know that I can remember anybody actually doing something directly for the American people without it being something beneficial to themselves. And of course, it's the same as the way that they vote on bills and things like that. And I think that's where I think a lot of the issues come into play. And I think this is one of the reasons we are in, you know, the somewhat mess that we're in, you know, because I'm not a big buyer into believing that all of the great things that they're telling it we're seeing right now are really all that great. Okay. And again, I'm not complaining about living in the United States of America. There's no place better, but I certainly believe that we could do things better than we are now. And I think that, you know, we could actually have a better focus and a better situation if we could have somebody who would just take control. And if we actually could see inside the spending habits and the books and the things that, you know, our representatives are spending. And I think that is an issue. I don't think they should have the, as they say, the carte blanche. To have like an open balance sheet where they can just spend, and then back the numbers in later. I don't like that. I think that's ridiculous. And hey, it is what it is. But it is March Madness, and I hope you enjoy the tournament. I saw that Arizona got knocked out. Some pretty great games and some pretty amazing stuff. But it's going to be a fun weekend and fun tonight. So. Everybody have a great weekend. And as always, I thank you so much for being here and being part of the show. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And, you know, if you'd like to help us out with our high school kids and take care of this financial literacy, go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. If you make a small donation, I will give you one free week of my advisory. So please check it out. And this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here on Monday. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.